first things first, it's Monday morning. That's the Hall of Famer Chris Carter making googly eyes at this guy or NBA guy. That's Nick Wright. I'm Jenna Wolf.
Making googly eyes. Googly
That's what
eyes.
I'm getting ready to do. I'm going to make googly eyes, and you know what? And then I'm getting ready to slide into your DM.
Exactly right.
That's exactly what
That's
we do.
That's how we're going to start
we
this Monday.
A bizarro show with crazy things the three of us have said. That has just make up our
I wish the camera could have been had you on camera before.
30 seconds before
Jenna's like,
we started.
Let's go, see? Give it to me.
Somebody's got to get these guys.
All right, guys, get
fired
it together. Get it
up.
Together. We actually start in 5 seconds. Four, three,
hey,
two,
we
one.
Have a great show for you today. Really only one place where we're going to steer this ship, and that's with the only NBA game on the schedule last night. Here we go.
Warriors. I need to go outside and find me a park bench.
Warriors looking to even up the series with Toronto. Game 2, pick this up late, 30 seconds to go. Raptors down 5. Kawhi the miss, but it bounces out to Danny Green, and he nails the 3. Raptors within 2. Next possession, time winding down. Steph Curry to Sean Livingston to a wide open Andre Iguodala with time. Nails the open three-pointer, and the Warriors go on to win 109-104, but not without some big injuries we will discuss. But first, let's get to some post-game sound with Steph Curry.
The whole fourth quarter, they're playing some janky defense, just trying to send bodies to me everywhere. And our whole roster just took advantage of it. Like, over the course of the game, that's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that, you know, with the game on the line. He's made big shots like that before, and he got it done tonight.
Well, we weren't disrespecting anybody. We were up guarding hard, and we put 2 on Steph, and he almost threw it right to Kawhi, right? Pretty good defense.
I really didn't see where Iggy came from. He came up, Livingston found him, and he knocked down a shot, big shot.
Did you want to see the ball in his hands in that situation compared to anybody else on the floor?
No, we wanted to see it in our hands. We wanted to get a steal.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's start at the end and work our way back with that final possession. Nick, what'd you make of the Warriors' final possession?
All right, this will be the image when in 8 years or so, whenever it is, that Andre Iguodala is inducted into the James Naismith Pro Basketball Hall of Fame that we see. The first image that we see, assuming they go on to win the championship, it will be this shot. And sports are funny that way because that was a terrible shot. It was the absolute wrong decision in that moment was Andre Iguodala with 5 seconds on the shot clock when the Raptors had missed their opportunity to foul Draymond, missed an opportunity to foul Livingston, missed another opportunity to foul Draymond, could have gotten a steal. It ends up in Iggy's hands. All Iggy has to do is wait, or he can kick it. Draymond's not even in the screen. You can throw it out to him, and he's going to have a walk-up 3 that all has to do is draw iron and the game's going to end. He doesn't need to make it, Draymond. It's about the time at that point. You're playing the clock and not the opponent. But Iggy made it. And since he made it, now you don't have to worry about any of that other stuff. You don't have to worry about if Draymond would have airballed, if Iggy would have held the ball, would he have missed 1 free throw and left the door open for Toronto? None of it matters because he made the shot. It was in the exact same place on the court, Robert Horry, who all of a sudden Iggy and Horry have some similar career kind of side-by-side symbolism to him, made a critical shot, the critical shot of the 2005 finals in Game 5, the deciding shot maybe of the series. Iggy took the shot and made the shot. Didn't care that he was 1 of his last 14 from 3. Didn't care that he had been terrible shooting the basketball since Game 6 of the Houston series. He made the shot. So I'm not going to sit here and say that was the right play or the right shot, but he made it, and it was the most critical shot that's been made thus far in these finals.
Well, there's a couple of choices there. They were very, very fortunate that Livingston was able to avoid the steal with Kawhi because Kawhi had a beat on that one. Livingston took a couple steps to be able to get the pass from Steph Curry. In that situation, there's a couple of things that he can do. He shot the shot. He can drive to the basket, or he can dribble out or kick it out. So I thought he was going to shoot. The only problem with it is he should have waited about another second. I don't believe, like Nick, this is not Robert Horry's shot. The Robert Horry shot was, that was it. They needed that to build. This right here, they can still win the game. They're still up. The Lakers weren't up.
Oh, they were talking about two different shots. See, you're thinking of Robert Horry against the Kings. I'm thinking of Robert Horry as a Spur against the Pistons.
I mean, to me, I don't think this is going to go down as a big shot. This was a good time for them to build. Someone had to shoot it. You know, and I just thought it was an idiotic shot. It wasn't a smart basketball play. He should have thrown the ball back out because you knew they were trying to foul. I believe he lost concept of time and of space and what to do. So he makes the shot. That's what their role players did. He came in. He was gimpy, didn't have a great game, just like the rest of their bench, to be able to salvage game number two. To me, it wasn't about this shot. Wasn't about the last play. It was about the bench, them making adjustments, playing bigger, and their bench won this game for them.
Look, this, if you didn't watch this game, this wasn't Warriors from start to finish. It was a tough game for the Warriors. They trailed once again by double digits. Yeah. They had a rash of injuries that we're going to get to and talk about. Despite all of that, despite a cold start from Steph Curry, how did the Warriors win this game?
Well, there was the 18-0 run is what everyone's going to focus on to start the second half. But it really started a little bit before that. With a minute and a half left in the third quarter, the Raptors were up 11. And these are critical moments at the end of quarters going into halftime where the difference between being up 11 and up 15 is huge. And the difference between being up 11 and up 5 is equally huge in the other direction. The Warriors went on a sneaky little 9-3 run to close the second half where they hadn't played well, they hadn't been making shots, and all of a sudden they go into halftime only down 5. And then that Raptors crowd, which is so great at the start of games, guess what? No NBA arena has a great start of third quarter crowd because people are getting drinks, people are coming back to their seats, and the Warriors, with kind of a dead arena, took advantage of the moment and went on the 18-0 run to start the third quarter that flipped the game entirely. The Raptors couldn't buy a bucket, nor could they get a stop. The Warriors were getting great minutes from Boogie. Steph and Klay were playing in harmony for really the only time all game, and that's what flipped the game. Now, the Raptors, even after that, had their opportunities after Klay went down, but that started the third quarter where the Raptors were 0 of 8 from the field and the Warriors were 8 of 12 from the field for 18 points. Like, that's going to be the decisive moment of the game, the first 6 minutes of the third quarter.
The two biggest moments of the game for me was when they decided to start Boogie Cousins. Steve Kerr goes to him before the game. And Steve Kerr was very good. He was pretty coy because I listened to an interview before the game. He said, we're going to change our starting lineup. And so people weren't surprised at that. As far as Jordan Bell, he didn't deserve to start after he started the game number one at center for them, but they needed more size. Boogie Cousins looked decent enough in game number one, but him deciding to go to Boogie Cousins, what does that do? It gave him a great deal of confidence, but it also opened up their system, the Warriors system. The reason why people fell in love with how they play basketball because they do it the right way. Picking, cutting, unselfish, but passing the basketball, which sometimes is a lost art. All their 22 field goals the second half were assisted on. 34 of their 38 field goals they had, 34 of them were assisted on. This was the Warriors basketball. We're going to move the basketball. We're going to cut without the basketball. This is what won out for them. Their system of being able to, you know something? I got a good shot. I'm not going to take this for a better shot. And that constant movement to me, that right there, that was the biggest difference between game one and game two. Playing a lot bigger for the Warriors and moving the ball around.
All right, you did touch on Boogie. Time now for Put a Grid on It, sponsored by CarMax. And we will talk about Boogie. Had a big impact in game two. Steve Kerr put him back in the starting lineup, like we mentioned. Scored 11 points, 10 rebounds in 28 minutes of work. He did it on offense. He did it on defense. Nick, put a grade on Boogie Cousins' performance last night.
You have to give him an A. Once again, I mean, he was actually defensively more than fine out there, which was the big question, even pre-injury, certainly post-injury. He had the best plus-minus of anybody. You mentioned the 11 and 10 to go along with 6 assists, which is the trend you were talking about. Nearly every basket was assisted for the Warriors, so I think you got to give him an A.
Absolutely. In his real first starting assignment in the NBA Finals after only playing a couple playoff games, you have to build all the pressure on him. He's also a pending free agent. His reputation, his professional basketball career on the line. He comes through for the Warriors. You have to give him the best grade available. You got to give him an A.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Welcome back. We'll get to the Raptors' bad third quarter in a second. But first quarter, Fred VanVleet lobbing one up to Pascal Siakam for the one-handed alley-oop.
Golden State did a good job getting back on defense. Also, they didn't try to get any offensive rebounds.
No.
So they can get back on defense. This one, the few opportunities. Siakam, he's really special in open court.
More from game two now. Marc Gasol finding a cutting Norman Powell for the slam.
The rare Norman Powell sighting in this series. He played bigger minutes in this game, much bigger minutes in this game than he did in game one. Didn't have a huge impact, but this was a big play for them.
He could still play a huge part the rest of the series, especially we don't know how healthy Clay is going
to
be.
Here we go. Check it out. Sean Livingston to a wide open Iggy for the game sealing three.
Steve Kerr, I wish we could read his mind when he sees this developing. Don't. Yes! We win.
I knew it was going to work out that way.
I mean, I don't think there's any coach in America that would say you take that shot in that spot. But if you make it, it don't matter. Huge play by Iggy. Huge play.
All right, let's shake it up a bit. A little MLS soccer. Zlatan Ibrahimovic scoring on an insane bicycle kick for the Galaxy up against the Revolution.
Oh, a little 37-year-old in-the-box bicycle kick, see?
Hardest way to finish is a bicycle kick. The timing of it, also a dangerous play. Typically, you can get called from the ref for a boot up close to his head. That's what they call cleats.
That was a better game than the bigger soccer game this weekend, Champions Cup final. That was a bore.
All right, back to last night's game. Tough loss for the Toronto Raptors. They led at halftime but struggled in the third quarter as the Warriors scored the first 18 points of the second half. Took the Raptors nearly 6 minutes into the quarter to finally score. This was their first loss since game two of the Milwaukee Bucks series, snapping a 5-game win streak. So as the series heads to Oakland now for game three, Kawhi says he knows it's only going to get more difficult moving forward.
Finals is not going to be easy. The only thing that matters is the four wins. Once you get it, two wins, three wins, it does not matter. Just take one game at a time and, you know, just play through the adversity.
All right, CC, what went wrong for the Raptors last night?
Well, a number of things went wrong. Golden State, which I believe they kind of lucked into this because of injuries. When you get Looney, who gets hurt, their backup center, who's probably played more minutes than any other center that they have, that Steve Kerr decides that I'm going to go Boogie Cousins and Bogut, which made their lineup a lot bigger, and it hurt Toronto as their bigs played a lot better than Toronto's bigs. In that third quarter where they couldn't hit a shot, I can understand. You talk about the crowd. The coach at that point had an opportunity, too, to be able to call a timeout. I thought he missed an opportunity to be able to stop a rally there, but it's about shooting the basketball. We can go up and down the lineup. Oh, this guy got hurt. This guy gets this. They didn't shoot the basketball. 37% from field goal percentage, 28 from three. You are not going to beat Golden State when they beat you by 10 percentage points in both categories. So we can talk about a lot of the other things. They took care of the ball enough. They rebounded the ball. They got on the fast break just enough, not as much as game number one, probably 6 points less than game number one. But if you don't shoot the basketball against the Warriors, Because you'd have to be happy after two games, keeping them to 109 game number one, 109 in game number two. Shooting the basketball, to me, was the biggest reason why they lose game number two.
And, I mean, that's you can look at it as the Raptors' offense fouled them or the Warriors' defense played much better. It's honestly probably a combination of both because, as C just mentioned, Golden State has scored the exact same amount of points in each game. The difference is the Raptors' offense in that second half went through two impossible droughts. They went through the drought to start the third quarter, which was 6-plus minutes without a point, and the Warriors were on the longest run in NBA Finals history, at least since the merger, an 18-0 run, a 20-0 run if you extended the very end of the first half. And then there was another drought for Toronto from around 5 minutes left until that Danny Green three. Nobody hit a shot on either side. Toronto had executed this box-and-one defense once Clay went out that clearly was giving Golden State trouble, and they had opportunity after opportunity to make an 8-point game a 5-point game, to make a 7-point game a 4-point game, and they just couldn't capitalize. It wasn't until there was a minute left when they got some free throws. Steph gets just an indefensible technical by him that you have to know not in that situation. And then they get a couple offensive rebounds, lead to the Danny Green three, that all of a sudden it's a 2-point game. But Golden State, after taking control the entire second half, it felt like they were teetering. If Toronto could just hit a few of those shots, if Kawhi, as great as he's been in this playoff run, came in the fourth quarter and he's 1 of 6 from the field in the fourth quarter, if he makes some shots, if Van Vliet hits one of his key threes, we might be talking about something different. The Warriors' defense had something to do with that. The Raptors missing shots had something to do with that.
I'll say the Warriors' defense was a little more engaged, but they had nothing to do with those wide open shots they missed. On that 18-0 run, that was not defense. They had Nick Nurse, I can guarantee you, if you tell him we're going to get the same shots in game 3, 4, and 5, they'll sign up for it. They won't practice. They won't do anything. We will take the same opportunities shooting the basketball as bad as they did and still having a chance at the end. That part right there was hard to believe.
Nick Nurse actually said after the game, we just stopped being physical during that 18-0 run. We stopped pressing the way we were supposed to. But it seems like with Toronto's role players, either they all show up or they don't show up. After Siakam's great game one, didn't have a great game two, Kyle Lowry fouling out, you can't leave it all up to Kawhi Leonard to have to, I mean, he did put up 34 points, but to carry this team to victory.
Yeah. Siakam, you have a legitimate excuse. And Draymond Green said in the press conference, game number one, it's my responsibility to slow him down. I will do that in game number two. Didn't let him get out on the fast break. So who's going to be their number two scorer? Van Vliet, he's going to be the number two scorer. Kyle Lowry, to me, has been very disappointing. Not only in this game, but the last three games. 16 fouls. Fouled out in this game. So what people don't realize is when you accumulate all these fouls, not only do you move them closer to the bonus, they're a great free throw shooting team, but it affects how you play defense. It affects now how your teammates have to play defense because you're closer to the bonus. So for me, as smart as he is as a player, he has not played smart in the last three games. 6 fouls in this game, 5 fouls, which limited him in game number one where he only scored 7 points. And in the last game against Milwaukee, he had 5 fouls in that game, which hurt their defense. Kyle Lowry's got to be better than that for the Raptors if they're going to win this series.
And on the play Kyle Lowry fouled out on, see, he's 90 feet from the basket trying to steal it from Boogie Cousins.
One of many dumb fouls that he's made in this playoff run.
Right. I mean, that's a bad foul if you have one foul. You can't – when you know you have 5 fouls, and then Lowry thought he got him clean, but that's the type of play. When you come violently slapping down, that's the type of play
it's
that
–
it's very rare. You have to get it perfectly clean right in front of the ref. But the other element to it is one of the reasons the Raptors are getting these open shots is the Warriors continue to sell out on Kawhi. And it is working. Kawhi has been brilliant from the free throw line. He's 26 of 28 from the free throw line. In this series, he has 26 points from the free throw line and 27 points from the field. He's made 13 field goals of 34 attempts in this series. So even though 34 points last night, I think the Warriors were probably pretty satisfied with what they did on Kawhi, and they're going to force the other Raptors to hit shots. Everyone's going to focus on that 18-0 run. But once Clay went out, That's Clay went out and Kawhi checked in. There's 8 minutes left in the game. Toronto's down 7. If Toronto's offense engages or can start hitting shots at that moment, it's a different result. They had two droughts that cost them the game. The beginning of the third quarter and the end of the fourth quarter, when the Warriors were also going through a drought of their own, Toronto couldn't take full advantage of it.
Time for
hey,
some stories
guy, come
to
your
start
body, I'm
your
all right with
morning. Sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Warriors beat the Raptors 109-104 to even the series at 1-1. Big shot and a big moment for a guy named Andre Iguodala, nailing a three-pointer to put the Warriors up 5 with time winding down. Nick, what'd you make of the final possession?
I mean, it was a bit of a comedy of errors. The Raptors could have fouled Draymond, who's not a great free throw shooter. Then they could have fouled Livingston. Then they could have fouled Draymond again. They didn't do any of those things, so they screwed up a few times. Iggy's not supposed to take that shot, not with 5 seconds left on the shot clock, given the time and score, but he made it, so it's an all-time great play. That's how sports work out sometimes.
It's an all-time great play if they win the series.
Absolutely, of course. Yeah, correct. It could be now an all-time great play if the Warriors go on to win this series, because they were going to be in big trouble if they fell down 0-2. Go ahead.
Okay, moving on to Draymond Green. Nearly had a triple-double with 17 points, 10 boards, 9 assists in the game to win. Chris, what'd you make of Draymond's night?
Draymond was great right from the beginning. Draymond didn't start game number 2 at the opening whistle. He started right after game number 1. Yeah. First of all, he took the personal challenge. I'm going to slow down Siakam. He had their defense engaged early, orchestrating the offense when they needed to. Then they switched to Boogie Cousins, but Draymond was – this is championship basketball. People don't think experience does not help. Draymond losing 25 pounds. Draymond was spectacular in these two games that we've seen.
And you saw a little bit, some flashes of what you saw from Draymond in the Western Conference Finals when he had the opportunity to push the pace, to have a one-man fast break.
Kyle Lowry was guarding him, and he had those fouls. He couldn't do anything. Right, Draymond took
Draymond
advantage
went
of
right
it.
Around him and initiated the offense as well. He can't do that repeatedly against Toronto the way he could Portland, but in moments he found it last night. That was huge.
All right, let's talk some Kevin Durant. So there's much talk that he could be just days away from making his debut in the finals. Maybe game 3, maybe game 4, depending on how he practices this week. Steve Kerr said it's feasible KD could play after only one practice. CeCe, should the Warriors be careful, though, about rushing KD back too soon?
It's up to KD. I mean, once he gets cleared, and if he can tolerate the pain and he's not a liability, especially on the defensive end, no, it's up to KD. If he wants to take the chance, it's going to be on him. Dennis Green used to tell me, hey, man, everyone's got to practice one. Hey, Chris, you ain't got to practice. As long as you get here, if you get to the game, you look at me and tell me you can go because I trust you and you know your body. It's about knowing your body. Practice is not necessary in this when you're trying to go for a three-peat.
I would say it's still very unlikely KD plays in game 3. Whether or not he plays in game 4, we'll see what his practice schedule is. But I think everyone needs to understand, whatever game he plays in, whether it's 3 or 4, that first game, what's he going to play? 18 to 22 minutes on the top end. Like, you're not going to get 35 minutes from Kevin Durant in his first game back.
I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. They're going to play him in the first half of the game and see how he feels. No one knows what he's going to do the second half. Just like Boogie Cousins. He played 10 minutes in the first game. Oh, okay. We're going to ramp that up because he's feeling better. KD, I believe, will be in the same category as far as let's look at him. Let's see how he feels. And then we'll decide during the game.
All right. So you mentioned KD and Boogie, while Kevin Durant still sits out, DeMarcus Cousins was back in after coming off the bench in game 1. Steve Kerr felt the Warriors needed a bigger boost from Boogie, and they got it. Back in the starting lineup to the tune of 11 points, 10 boards, 6 assists in 28 minutes of play. Good play on both ends of the court. Here's Boogie Cousins on how it feels to be producing again.
This is what I've worked for my entire career, to be on this stage, to have this opportunity, you know, to play for something. But, you know, once they told me I had a chance, a slight chance at, you know, being able to return, it basically was up to me and the work and the time I put in behind the injury. It was up to me. So, you know, I put the work and the time in, and with God's grace, I'm able to be out here and, you know, play the game that I love. So, with that, I've told y'all before, I don't take any of this for granted. I've seen how quick this game can be taken away from you. So every chance I get to go out there and play, I'm going to leave it on the floor.
All right, CeCe, what'd you make of what Boogie did last night? How impressive was his game two after what he did in game one?
Well, if you know Boogie Cousins and you know about basketball, this is what he does. He has amazing offensive skill. Not only be able to shoot the basketball from deep at 6'10", his passing ability is right up under his ability, his versatility from the offense being able to shoot it from all parts of the court. Mid-range game, also has a low post game. That's why all the news about Boogie Cousins joining the Warriors, like, geez, now this is piling on. They're adding another all-star. And the thing about Boogie that becomes so important with KD being out is because with Kevon Looney in the game, Toronto and Nick Nurse had a great game plan. We're not going to guard three of them. We're only going to guard Klay. We're only going to guard Steph. And now you have to have an offensive threat. And he says, like the coaches teach you, when you're learning basketball, every time you get the basketball, be a triple threat. Be able to shoot, pass, or dribble every time you get it. Boogie Cousins, his fundamentals are very, very good at that. We saw last night and in game number one, his exceptional passing ability. We saw him make some shots. But then also, we saw him be a problem in the low post because he can put you into foul trouble. The big men of Toronto, they stayed in foul trouble.
Yep.
And if you get them in foul trouble, the Warriors are going to beat you at the free throw line. So I thought Boogie Cousins, given what he's overcome, given the reputation that he has as a selfish person in his biggest moments in his career, he played a sensational game. They don't get this win if Boogie Cousins does not play the type of basketball he played in game number two. And Steve Kerr did a good job because he could have went with three or four different starting lineups. Choosing to utilize Boogie, he told Boogie before the game, asked him what he thought about it. Boogie said, about damn time.
Right. And you also saw Boogie from the opening tip. I think part of it was probably because he knew that he was expected to play about 20 minutes. And so he wasn't worried about foul trouble or fatigue the way you would normally if you think you're going to play 35 to 40 minutes. From the opening tip, he's up in Marc Gasol. And he has played defensively. Now, they haven't really forced him to guard the pick and roll much. And Jackson kept bringing this up. I'm not sure why Toronto hasn't done that, but he has the best defensive rating of any Warrior that's played big minutes in this series. When he's on the court, they have an 88 defensive rating, which would be the best in the league by about 12 points over the course of a season from a team perspective. He had the best plus minus on a per minute and total basis on the team yesterday, and once Kevon Looney goes out, if Boogie's not available, you're taking Andrew Bogut, who was just playing in Australia a few months ago, mm-hmm. or a month and a half ago, and he would have had to play 30 minutes or 25 plus
minutes. No, Jordan Bell would have been back playing.
And Jordan Bell would have been the other one. Absolutely right. Who they tried to start in game one and saw that he is right now not equipped for this level, it would appear.
He's not a center.
Right. You're going to be undersized. You're going to be giving up some size without adding. When you go undersized, you want to add some offense, but Jordan Bell's not adding a ton of offense for you. But for Boogie, who was going into this year in the argument for best NBA players ever, who had never played in a playoff game, to get his first taste of playoff basketball, then suffer an injury that when the day after that injury, they said it was an 8-week recovery time. And the general response to that is, man, that is optimistic. It has been less than 7 weeks, and he was critical for them yesterday in, obviously, the biggest game he's ever played in by a factor of 10. You have to be happy for Boogie Cousins to fight his way back into the lineup, to work so hard, and then to have this moment where he was really important for them on both ends of the court.
Quick question, C, before we move on. You said he was the difference maker last night. How much of Kerr starting him was a psychological edge for him, knowing, you know, he wasn't going to come off the bench, that Kerr had that confidence in him? And how much did that help?
Listen, when you're a starter, you're a starter. It's a mentality. All right. And you don't, as a bench player, there's only a few guys that can do both. All right. It's a strange combination. But yes, it shows confidence in them. Plus, after the game, Boogie Cousins talked about, he texted Draymond after the game and said, believe in me. I need you two guys to believe in me. And that was the message throughout the locker room. And then once they extended the start to him, he felt the confidence of everything that he had been saying. His teammates and the staff did believe in him.
All right, moving on. Despite the Warriors' win over the Raptors to even the finals, say a game apiece, it wasn't all great news. Klay Thompson, who had a team-high 25 points, tweaked his hamstring in the fourth quarter, had to leave the game with 8 minutes still left to play. This to go along with Kevon Looney also leaving the game injured last night. But Steve Kerr thinks Klay, who will have an MRI later today, will be good to go for game 3 back in Oakland.
Clay said he'll be fine, but, you know, Clay could be half dead and he'd say he'd be fine. We'll see. You know, he pulled his hamstring. He thinks it's minor. So I don't know what that means going forward.
Sounds pretty optimistic on the part of Steve Kerr, depending on what that MRI says. Nick, how important is Clay to the Warriors' chances in Game 3?
If Clay doesn't play Game 3, unless Kevin Durant has some miraculous comeback, if they're out Clay and KD, they cannot win. Their offense does not exist when it's we saw yesterday once Clay went out. The Raptors all of a sudden they're
here
like
here we go again, what? Nick. This is the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to stand by it.
Well, explain to and people what the Philadelphia Eagles mean.
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles was once they lost Carson Wentz. I said they can't win the Super Bowl. These are little apples. And bowling balls here. We watched the Warriors lose Klay Thompson, and the Raptors all of a sudden played a junior high defense, box and one. Mm-hmm. You never see that in the NBA. What that means is we think there's one guy on your team that can hurt us. The rest of the guys, we're going to beat the elbows and the blocks, and we're going to dare anyone else to do anything.
And it was effective.
It was incredibly effective. I know Steph said after the game they were playing a janky defense and my teammates took advantage of it. No, they didn't. Your teammates could do nothing. Like, it wasn't on Steph. And so if you don't have Clay or KD, you cannot beat a team as good as Toronto. You cannot win game three. Now, Clay has never missed a playoff game in his career. He's 120 of 120 in the last 5 years, 101 of 101. Even in the regular season, since he came into the league, they've played a total of 760 games. He's played in 735 of them. We thought he was seriously injured in game one of the finals last year when JR looked like he almost broke his damn ankle. And
right.
Clay started game two, and I think played 34 minutes. So I wouldn't put it past Clay. But we saw Chris Paul tweak a hamstring and not be able to play in game six or seven last year for the Houston Rockets. If they don't have Clay, they do not have enough offense to win until Kevin Durant comes back.
I have seen the Warriors, and I do believe in their system. During a game, a player getting hurt compared to, I got 3 days to prepare. So Golden State, huge advantage for them, him getting hurt in game number two. Because now they can adjust. It's not as if they have to adjust in the game. Can they come up with a game plan that for 48 minutes that they can beat Toronto? I believe that they can. So I'm not on that theory that game number three is over with if Clay's not on the court. Steph is too dangerous. Iggy is dangerous. Draymond is dangerous. Boogie Cousins. They still got four All-Stars. I mean, and a guy that was a finals MVP on the team. Now, I can understand what you're trying to say, but in this, with these Warriors and the way the role players are empowered to be able to do more, it's only one game. Yes, they can win game number three without Clay. It does hurt them. The reason why they play the box and one defense is you play a box and one as if they have one shooter and the rest of their players are post players, you have the box to be able to defend the rest right. of those post players and you extend the defense only on that one player. It was very, very effective. But in game number three, you can believe that the backups for Golden State, Steve Kerr will put them in a position that they're going to be able to knock down wide open shots because they will have wide open shots.
If Clay's out, though, they have four All-Stars in name only. Steph is an All-Star for what he does offensively. Draymond's an All-Star because of his All-NBA Defensive Player of the Year level defense. Iggy made an All-Star team 7 years ago, and for a player he no longer is. And Boogie Cousins, we just spent time giving Boogie Cousins a ton of praise, and he deserves a ton of praise. But it's because he found a way to get 11 points.
There is a thing in sports called muscle memory. It's like right now, if I jump under a bench press, typically at the combine they have a 225 test. I can get under a bench press right now and throw up 225 8 to 10 times. I haven't bench pressed in 5 years. But it's muscle memory. When your body has been put in situations, not only your muscles but your brain, that's what Iguodala gets through. He gets through on charisma. He gets through on knowledge. He gets through on strength. Boogie Cousins, I believe, is only going to get better. He hadn't played in 45 days.
Oh, I agree with that.
And now he's played a couple days. Draymond will be far more aggressive, and they will come up with some looks for Steph that he will be able to get rid of Van Fleet in that box and one. Put him on the baseline, set some picks for him, have him come all the way to the top that way compared to starting him at the top, which gave them problems in game number two when that defense, that was the first they saw of it.
You, my friend, are on an unbelievable streak of predicting injuries and how long people are going to be out. From what you saw last night, did it just look like a little tweak?
The hamstring's easier to play with for a basketball player than a calf or an ankle. Because a hamstring, you can put a wrap around the hamstring and it limits your movement. Most of this is Clay's fault because on that three-pointer,
he tried to draw foul.
He was trying to draw contact and put his left leg out, and his shoe hit on his heel, yep. And you don't have any traction on your heel, so it slides out from under him. His body couldn't anticipate the ground not being there, and he strained his hamstring by overextending that left leg.
I want to be real clear on one thing. I think Clay's going to play. I think Clay is going to
fight. I don't think anybody knows. Steve Kerr comments after the game, Clay walked straight to the locker room. There's a reason. There is a serious strain in that hamstring. And when they tell you after the game, I keep saying this all the time, how do you know how severe it is? Do they ask for an MRI? MRIs are expensive. X-rays are less expensive. So if they think they could diagnose it with an X-ray, they would spend less money. But as we've seen with the Warriors, all their players of recent, and typically that MRI lets you know that there's some severity to the injury.
Obviously, I don't know if he's going to play. I'm just simply saying, if I had to bet, I would bet that Klay Thompson's not going to snap his consecutive playoff game streak. I think he's going to play, and he'll probably play well. But if he doesn't play, I do not believe the Warriors have enough offense to beat Toronto, even in Oracle.
Welcome back to the show, NCAA, NBA champ, all around everything. Antoine Walker joins us.
What's up? How are you, man?
Good.
You have a good weekend?
Yes, sir.
Daughter at a big spring volleyball game for the University of Northwestern.
Yeah.
So back in Chicago.
Northwestern? Bro, what you doing over there on campus? Got a little partial scholarship going on over there.
No, it ain't partial. It's full.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. She took all the money because they don't have a full scholarship for
all sports.
Yeah. I'll take your money, yeah. And my daddy got some money. All right.
Absolutely.
We got full ride.
That's awesome.
All right, Antoine, let's talk some basketball. Warriors looking to even up the finals with Toronto. Game two, pick this up late, 30 seconds to go. Raptors down 5. Kawhi the miss, but it bounces out to Danny Green, who nails the 3. Raptors are within 2. Next possession, time winding down. Steph Curry to Sean Livingston. Livingston over to Iggy. Andre Iguodala wide open with time. Nails the open 3-pointer, and the Warriors take the win 109-104. Not without a couple of big injuries that we will discuss. But first, here's Steph Curry after the Warriors' big win.
The whole fourth quarter, they were playing some janky defense, just trying to send bodies to me everywhere. And our whole roster just took advantage of it. Like, over the course of the game, that's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that, you know, with the game on the line. He's made big shots like that before, and he got it done tonight.
Well, we weren't disrespecting anybody. We were up guarding hard, and we put 2 on Steph, and he almost threw it right to Kawhi, right? It was pretty good defense.
I really didn't see where Iggy came from. He came up, Livingston found him, and he knocked down a shot, big shot.
Did you want to see the ball in his hands in that situation compared to anybody else on the floor?
No, we wanted to see it in our hands. We wanted to get a steal.
All right, Antoine, break down that final possession for me. What did you make of Iggy having the ball and what he decided to do with it?
It comes down to a team that's been there before, players that's been in the finals before, and you saw the inexperience come out with the Toronto Raptors. For them not to get a foul in front of their bench, I mean, it's ridiculous. You have to get a foul right there. And you can see Nick Nurse, you know, and the coaches telling them to foul, but nobody on the floor picks this up. The thing, it reminded me, and it's maybe not as serious, but it reminds me of the J.R. Smith play, that guys don't understand the time and situation. You got to know the game when you're out on the floor. Somebody on that floor should know that they needed to foul. Obviously, you don't want to foul Steph Curry, but anybody else touches that basketball, you have to put that on. You have to foul them, and they came up short. Those plays right there cost you the finals. Those are the type of games that cost you the whole series because you can't recover from that when you work so hard to get back in the game and not to give yourself an opportunity at the end of the game for them either, one, to make free throws, it hurts because you don't know what could have happened. They got the ball in the right people saying Sean Livingston had it right there. Then you got Andre Iguodala right there. Two guys that are not great free throw shooters, and they came up short. So I don't know. You know, you watch Nick Nurse's interview, and he kind of act like it wasn't a big play in the game. It was a huge play because you had an opportunity where you didn't play particularly well in the fourth quarter and had a chance to make it a one-possession game and blew it.
Most of the time, you don't want the game to boil down to one play. And Nick Nurse, I thought he did a good job in the press conference after the game avoiding it as if to make it a big deal because you can make your players look bad. Because coming out of the huddle, this is what they told him. We're going to try to go for the steal. We're going to double-team Steph, try to get the ball out of his hand. All right, once he gets out of his hand, if we don't get the steal, we're going to foul. If you can foul Iggy, if you can foul Sean Livingston, foul them. And you can see with 16 to 18 seconds, when Sean Livingston gets the ball by the bench, you can see the coaching staff, to your point, telling them to foul him. And then once the ball gets reversed around, then they're now you're playing just for one play. You're playing for him to miss that shot, you to call timeout, race down, and to be able to make a buzzer beater. But no, let's make the game longer. Foul them there. Livingston's not a clutch player. He's not used to being on the court shooting free throws. In his 15-year career, I guarantee we can go back, and I guarantee he don't have a bunch of, in the last minute of the game, how many free throws did he win to be able to try to extend the
lead?
Those
would have been the biggest free throws of his career. Those would have been among, if not the biggest free throws of Draymond's career. If you're down three, they're down two. If you're down three in that spot with a four-second differential, you can make the argument you don't foul. Because then they only need to make one to make it a two-possession game. I still would foul, but you make the argument. But down two, everyone has to know you play exactly this defense. You trap Steph, force the ball out of his hands, and hope he gives it up. That ball went to Draymond, then Livingston, then back to Draymond. Steph touches it, then back to then to Livingston, back to Iggy. You had five opportunities to foul someone who the odds are is not going to make both free throws. So the Raptors screwed that up, and then I felt like the Warriors gave them a chance because I don't think Iggy's supposed to take that shot. I think Iggy is either supposed to wait longer. If he wants to, it's a little risky, but Draymond's so far out of the frame, he's almost behind half court. You'll see him. You'll see it over here. If he just throws a pass up to Draymond, Draymond can take all the time, and then all he has to do is draw iron, and the game's over. I didn't think that was a good shot by Iggy, but he made it, so it's an all-time great shot.
It was a bad shot. You got it. In that situation, Andre Iguodala, he should dribble it out right there. He can hold it. Even if he tucks it, you got to hold. They didn't even come running at them. He could have probably ran the whole clock out with the ball in his hands. If you really look at that play, they never come chase Andre Iguodala at all. He could have held the ball if he wanted to. It's a bad shot that went in, and you know, those are moments you live for. You can't get mad.
Right.
It's nothing Steve Kerr. They're going to talk about it. It's going to say it's a great shot. But in those situations, and you don't think he would make that type of mistake being that he's been in the finals as many times as he has, MVP of the finals. You don't think he would make that mistake, but he made the shot, so you make up for it.
So let's talk about the rest of the game. Klay got hurt in this game. Mm-hmm. Kevon Looney got hurt in this game. Steph Curry had a real tough time right off the bat. I don't think he scored for the first, whatever, 6 minutes or whatever it was. They went on a couple of runs back and forth. Despite all that, how did the Warriors win this game?
I think first you got to start with the adjustment of starting Boogie Cousins. I thought was huge to give him an opportunity. And Chris, you understand, anybody that's been hurt, especially in your leg, you take the warm-up to get loose and get yourself together. And coming off the bench, I think, Nick, you talked about this, it's hard for any player to come off the bench. I think when he started them, it gave him a confidence, a certain swagger. Now he's back in the starting lineup. I thought he played great. I think also Klay Thompson heard some of the rumors that he needs to pick it up. Oh. He was ultra-aggressive early on, trying to get his shot.
Making tough shots.
Yes, he was. You saw that in the first quarter, keeping his team in the game when Toronto was making their run early on. And then the adjustments. I think Steve Kerr did a terrific job. We talked about him playing so many guys, but he played 11 guys and got production out of 10 guys, scored the basketball. And then, obviously, you can see a team that's been to the finals in that core group. I mean, you got 34 assists. I mean, the way they move the basketball, the way they share it, all those things played a big part in why Golden State was able to win this game.
To me, Boogie Cousins, too, and it took over in the second half. In the first half, he was spot duty, played 5 minutes first quarter, 5 minutes in the second quarter. But in the second half, where they needed an offensive punch, passing the basketball to be able to let them be able to run their system, to me, that was the biggest difference. They're assisting 38 field goals, 34 assists, had 22 field goals the second half. I know you don't know nothing about this because you shoot the basketball. 22 field goals the second half, all assisted on.
It's unbelievable.
That's teamwork to make the dream work. That's also championship experience, but it's relying on your teammate for his skill level. And for this moment, Boogie Cousins, the biggest of his career, he was outstanding.
It's the highest assist percentage in a playoff game, Chris, in 20 years. I mean, you 34 of 38 is almost impossible. To go 100% in the second half, it's truly unheard of in a playoff game, much less an NBA Finals game. But the people are going to point out two separate moments in this game. The 18-0 run to start the second half, and then the drought at the for the second half of the fourth quarter. I'm going to key in on a different moment. The Raptors were up 11 with 100 seconds left in the first half with the ball. If they go into halftime with a 13-point lead, with a 14-point lead, things are so different. If they can just keep the double-digit lead like they had in game one, 10-point lead at the halftime. Instead, they had empty possession after empty possession, and the Warriors all of a sudden go on a quick little 9-3 run to where they went into halftime, I'm sure, thinking, man, nobody other than Klay is playing great, and we're right there. We're two possessions down with the ball to start the third quarter, and that to me is what propelled them on that run. And on that run, Chris, you mentioned this earlier, you thought Nick Nurse took a timeout a few possessions late. He waited until it was a 14-0 run to take that timeout. Maybe a more seasoned coach and experienced coach at 7-0 recognizes, guys, this could get away from us quick. He waited a little bit, and it, at that point, was already away from him.
I just thought he should have called a timeout because they couldn't make a shot. I would get me out of bounds, call me a good play to be able to get me a good look to try to get me a bucket.
Yep, something to the basket.
Back here talking game two with Antoine Walker. Tough loss for the Raptors last night. They led at halftime but struggled in the third quarter as the Warriors scored the first 18 points of the second half. Took the Raptors nearly 6 minutes into the quarter to finally score. This was their first loss since game two of the Bucks series, snapping a five-game win streak. As the series heads to Oakland for game three, Kawhi says he knows it's only going to get more difficult moving forward.
Finals is not going to be easy. The only thing that matters is the four wins. Once you get it, two wins, three wins, it does not matter. Just take one game at a time and, you know, just play through the adversity.
Antoine, we just talked about the things the Warriors did right to win this game. What did the Raptors do wrong last night? How did they lose this game?
We always talk about you don't want to beat yourself. I think they beat themselves last night. One with the turnovers. When you got 15, 16 turnovers, you cannot turn the basketball over like that against Golden State and expect to win. I thought the fouling was really, really bad. I think when I look at, especially in that third quarter, you talk about that run. Marc Gasol had two offensive fouls setting screens I thought was terrible. I thought Kyle Lowry bailed himself out, took himself out the game with his fouls. It's not like it was a big foul disparity, but you got to foul in the right situations and make smart fouls against Golden State. That's beating yourself. Those are little mistakes that come back to haunt you. I thought they went away from their game plan a little bit on the offensive end as far as going through Kawhi and sharing the basketball. I thought he took it on one-on-one a few more times than I would like to see him do. I mean, obviously he went to the free throw line 16 times, but he has to come off it and trust his teammates are going to make those shots. And then they got to get production. Danny Green, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, and Marc Gasol have to give them some offensively consistently if they want to beat Golden State. I thought Marc Gasol played terrible. He played 31 minutes. He can't play that many minutes and not be productive. Serge Ibaka has to play a lot better. He gets three fouls in the first half, take himself out the game in the first half. So those are small mistakes. You don't want to beat yourself. Golden State is too good of a team to beat yourself. So I thought he did a lot of things to hurt yourself. It may not show up in the box score, but those fouls, those offensive fouls are petty, and it hurts your run. You don't want to continue to give Golden State opportunities.
I thought the last two rounds of basketball, this is the dumbest basketball I saw Toronto Raptors play. Mm-hmm. And people talk about one of the things that makes them special, how you get to the finals. They got guys with very, very high basketball IQs. Kyle Lowry, one of the best in the league. He has not played smart as far as when he's going to foul, where he's going to foul, and the time of the game at which he's going to foul. Kyle Lowry, Siakam, and Van Fleet, they had two fouls in the first quarter. All of them. They get eight total fouls in the first quarter. So that's how they started. Golden State from the free throw line. How are we going to do it? We're going to give them 10 free ones. All right, 10 made free throws in that first quarter. It gave Draymond an opportunity. It gave Steph an opportunity that they could generate some confidence offensively, because no one on Golden State, no Boogie Cousins in the first quarter. He was just out there. Klay Thompson was the only legitimate threat that they had. Steph was having some type of respiratory. He was having some type of issue. So at that time, they did not take advantage of it. Why didn't they take advantage of it? Because they played dumb basketball, and they got themselves into foul trouble, and they put Golden State in the bonus early in the game. And those two fouls that all those players got later in the game, it affects your defense.
Yep.
Kyle Lowry fouls out of the game. It's just not. For him to be your captain, for him to be your veteran player, he really let them down last night.
And to your point, in that first quarter, other than Klay, the entire Warriors roster made three shots.
Yep.
And yet they're only down one after the first quarter because the other Warriors roster other than Klay was 9 of 11 from the free throw line. And it's totally true that those fouls cost you later in the game, because we saw a play where Draymond took it all the way up the court, drove right around Lowry because Lowry was afraid to get a foul, and then got a dumb one to foul out of the game, slapping down at
it's
Boogie.
It's the same thing that Draymond had in game number one. As far as Siakam, he couldn't slow him down on the fast break because he had a couple fouls and was in foul trouble.
But the other element, we've talked a lot about the 18-0 run. It ended up being, it was the biggest run in finals history since the merger. I understand that. But there was another key moment in the game, which was when Klay goes out, the Raptors went down on 5-on-4, hit a three. Warriors have to call timeout. Kawhi was checking in. Klay has to go out. There's 8 minutes left in the game. From that moment forward, with Klay on the bench, the Warriors' offense going to die, essentially. They had 8 points in the next 7:55 until that the Iggy three in the final seconds. The Raptors went 3 of 16. They went 1 of 9 from 3. Kawhi went 1 of 6. Their offense, whether it was missed shots, whether it was bad shots, whether it was good defense, or a combination of all of it, that was an opportunity for Toronto, where if their offense can click in, if they can hit some of those shots, if Kawhi can either do a little bit better job of getting to the rim or getting other guys open shots or getting his own open shots, something happens there. Toronto could have stolen this, because the Warriors were, they were out of bodies. And the Toronto, a few minutes into those final 8 minutes, went to that box and one, which clearly Golden State, they might be ready for it in game three, but in game number two, most of these guys probably have not gone up against box and one since when? High school?
High school, yeah.
And so there was an element of, wait, what's happening? That's how people guarded Stephen Davidson, because he was the only threat on the team. And so Toronto in the fourth quarter, once Kawhi went in and Klay went out, going 3 of 16 from the field, 1 of 9 from three-point line, that was a moment they could have seized control, and they never were able to do it.
Toronto's got to look at the film and say, look, we're good enough defensively to beat this team. What are we going to do offensively to make the game a lot easier for us? How can we get some easier layups? You know, we're trying to live and die with the three-point shot if it's not going. How can we figure out, can we get Kawhi a layup? Can we get Marc Gasol an easier post-up? Because you got to get some scoring. You cannot continue to play. They played great defense to stay in the game for about 5 minutes left in that fourth quarter.
Yep.
They stayed in the game with great defense, but was not able to get anything easy. Ramon, you got two good point guards that are very good at coming off the pick and roll. You may have to change it up a little bit, maybe put those guys in the pick and roll and see if they can come off and make a play, not put so much pressure on Kawhi to have to do it every time to make a play for everybody else. Maybe use Kawhi as a decoy. That's what Golden State does very well. And that's the reason why Draymond Green gets backdoor layups. Andre Iguodala gets a backdoor layup, an open three. They use Steph and Klay as decoys sometime to get other guys going. So those are some of the things Toronto has to look at the film to figure out. It may not be a lot. It may be 6 to 8 points that you can get.
Mm-hmm. Just that's a big difference.
Yeah, that you can get to help the team out.
I want to ask you a quick question. Mark Jackson kept harping on the point during the game. He didn't know why Toronto wasn't forcing Boogie to guard the pick and roll. And Boogie played really well and played well defensively, but that was something they didn't throw at him. Did that surprise you that they didn't see if Boogie could guard the pick and roll? Is that something with Boogie now all of a sudden having a bigger role in the series you think they'll do in game three?
They actually did it early. He got two quick fouls and he picked up his third. They went away from it. That's what I mean about in the timeout. Let's say, look, we're not scoring. Let's go at the weakest link. Matchups. Let's figure out who's the weakest link for them defensively. Obviously, it's Boogie because he don't have the mobility that he had early in the season. You got to attack him But Marc Gasol got to be better, too. That sometimes, if he doesn't get going, you don't feel confident going to him. Didn't have his shot last night.
And in game number one, if you look at it, Marc Gasol and Boogie Cousins, people say, well, Gasol had a great game. Boogie Cousins, he's just getting acclimated. They only guard each other one time. In last night's game, they defended each other 63 times, and Gasol only scored 6 points in those exchanges. So Gasol was part of the reason why the Raptors weren't able to. Him, Siakam, Serge Ibaka, they have to be able to play better because I thought even in the limited, with Looney being hurt, the bigs outplayed Toronto, and then the backcourt, we know, outplayed Toronto's backcourt.
Quick question before we go to break. The foul trouble that the Raptors got into so early and often, how much of that was just lapses in focus, and how much of it was because Nick Nurse said, we want to make a concerted effort to be so physical in this game? Well, did that come back
to
haunt them?
If you're going
to
be that physical, then you can't commit the dumb fouls. You can't commit the fouls 80 feet from the basket. You can't try to take every single charge. Like, there are elements where you know if it's going to be a high foul game because of the way you play defense, you got to be extra judicious with your plays that aren't critical, that are far from the basket. The Marc Gasol moving screens are a great example. Right. Those are empty possessions. Those
That's
are fouls
why they
and
took
turnovers.
Him out of the pick and roll, though. He's not as consistent in the pick and roll. That's why you couldn't utilize Boogie. So I wouldn't call it bad coaching, because Toronto's been a physical team all year, and they changed the series in game number three in the conference final against Milwaukee by being physical. Nick Nurse teaches good defense, but don't reach. It's those ticky-tack reaching fouls that have hurt the Raptors.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.